Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 this evening, as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table, I'd like to spend a few moments and make reference to the cross. The title of my sermon this evening is The Cross Life. Last couple of weeks, besides meditating upon the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I've been focusing upon the cross. There are two sides to the cross: death and life. And if we would understand that principle, then we can live in victory and fully experience God's power upon our lives. Here in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, the Apostle Paul made reference to living unto God in verse 19, that I might live unto God. And he writes in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hand of guidance. Lord, we bless you and praise you this evening that you do lead your children along. And we ask and pray, O Holy Ghost, that you would lead us into truth and understanding this evening. May we understand the cross life, what it means to take up our cross and follow you. And Lord God, in the process, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to partake at the table of that very one that was willing to go to an old rugged cross and die on our behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul sincerely desired to live unto God, to live a Christ life. And there in verse number 20, he states a spiritual truth that must be a reality in your life and in my life if we are to live unto God. It involves the cross. And the Apostle Paul said there in verse 20, I am presently crucified with Christ. He was referring to his spiritual position in Christ, that I died with Christ. But then he went on to say, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Christ life, that resurrection life. So he's referring to a spiritual transaction that took place upon that old rugged cross. Not only did Jesus Christ die for our sins and provide redemption for all mankind, but also he provided through his death the power for you and I to live the Christ life. And the Apostle Paul was stating a spiritual truth that I am crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. That sinful nature, that sinful desire within my being, that bent towards wrong, that died with Christ, and I no longer need to live under sin's dominion, but I can live under Christ. And that is Christ living in and through me. And he makes reference to, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And as we consider the cross this evening, the cross life. The cross speaks of death. But from the death of Christ on the cross, there is life. There is not only life eternal, but there is victorious living. Living the Christ life. And the Apostle Paul said that I am living that Christ life in the flesh. How? By the faith of the Son of God. Once again, that word faith is mentioned. It is by faith we understand that we have been crucified with Christ positionally. And by faith we understand that in Christ we died with Christ and we have been raised to newness of life. And that simply means that we no longer, as children of God, live under the stronghold of sin. We are no longer under sin's dominion, but we have been set free in Christ. And that means that we can live a victorious Christian life. Provided I live the Christ life. It is not I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. And the application of this truth becomes a reality in your life and my life by faith. So as we meditate upon the cross this evening in preparing our hearts for our Lord's table, the cross speaks of death, but the cross also speaks of life. Not only life eternal, but life to the full. A life of victory. And the Apostle Paul said that I died with Christ and in his resurrection I have been raised with Christ in newness of life, as it reads in Romans chapter 6. And then Romans chapter 6, the Bible makes a very clear statement that our baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So our baptism, not only does it picture the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but also then, Romans chapter 6, the Bible teaches us that we are raised in newness of life. So not only is the gospel illustrated through biblical baptism by immersion, and that's why as Bible-believing Christians, we are so set upon believer's baptism by immersion. Because it pictures the gospel. Anything but immersion distorts the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. A picture of the gospel. Our salvation provided through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But also when we witness a baptism, it also pictures for us that new life in Christ. I died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Resurrection. Resurrection life. And it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So baptism not only pictures the gospel, what Christ has done for us, but also biblical baptism pictures for us that new life in Christ. And brethren, this evening as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I'd like you to consider the two angles of the cross. Death and life. From death comes life. And the Apostle Paul alludes to this in this verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That sounds contrary, doesn't it? I'm crucified, but I live. So the spiritual truth is brought into balance here, that with Christ we died, and with Christ, in his resurrection, we are raised unto newness of life. And we live out this Christ life by faith. And God calls us to live out the Christian life by faith. Please, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Our Lord illustrates this fact that from death comes life. In John chapter 12, please. Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 20 to 24. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And then note verse 24. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I'm saying unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The Lord Jesus made reference to being glorified, that the Son of Man shall be glorified. And then he uses the illustration of a seed. From that planting of that seed, that seemingly dead seed, comes life. From death comes life. Before there can be life, there must be death. And that's what Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 is referring to. I am crucified with Christ. I must understand that spiritually I died with Christ. But nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. From death comes life. Two sides the cross, death and life. And if we are to live in spiritual victory, we must understand the cross life. We must understand the fact that to live a Christ life means that I am crucified with Christ. Now, how does our Lord Jesus illustrate that? Well, as you read through the Gospels, you'll find the Lord Jesus makes reference to you and I bearing our cross, taking up our cross and following him. That's the Christ life. That's the crucified life. That I die to self and I live unto Christ. The cross life has two sides, death and life. From death comes life. And our Lord illustrates that concerning this seed. "The corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit." So from that death comes life. And through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, there is life, is there not? Life eternal. "I come to give life and give life more abundantly." How does the Lord Jesus, or how did the Lord Jesus provide life for humanity? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To what end? "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So from death, our Lord imparts life. And brethren, this evening, if we are to live the cross life, we must understand there is a death element that needs to be applied if we are to live the Christ life. And the Lord Jesus illustrates this time and time again by calling his disciples to take up their cross and follow him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, please. And I'd like to spend a few moments this evening and share with you some elements of
the cross life. If I am truly crucified with Christ, and if it's truly Christ living in me, then I need to take up my cross and follow Him. There is reference to the cross some 28 times in the New Testament. The cross is not mentioned once in the Old Testament. Not once. I checked and I checked and I checked. Not once. It's only mentioned in the New Testament. Why is that? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Crucifixion was a Roman form of execution. It was the Romans that introduced crucifixion. And that's why you don't read of the cross in the Old Testament scriptures. You hear of the cross in the New Testament scriptures. And you'll find the word cross some 28 times, and I'd like for us to study the usage of the word cross. I believe it's essential and critical for us if we are to understand what it means to live the Christ life, or what I call the cross life. And this is a problem in our day amongst many of God's people. They are not willing to take up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Here in Matthew chapter 10, please, verses 36 to 39, we have the first reference to the word cross in the New Testament. Please follow along as I read. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We find here in verse number 38, our Lord commanding us to take up our cross and follow him. The first reference to the word cross in the New Testament. It is found within the context of a command. And my friend, this evening, if we are to live the cross life, then we need to be willing to take up our cross and follow him. That's what it means to live a Christ life. That's what it means to understand the two sides of the cross, death and life. Our Lord illustrates that by the usage of that little phrase, taking up your cross and following me. I'd like for us to note from this passage of scripture a couple of principles, initial principles concerning this command to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. The first principle is that it is a personal charge. Note then verse 38, the usage of the word, he that taketh not his cross. It's a personal charge. We are called upon to carry our own personal cross. The Lord Jesus carried his cross to Mount Calvary. He bore that burden predominantly. And my friend, if we are to live the cross life, if it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, you and I must understand that this cross-bearing is a personal charge for every blood-bought child of God. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, you are not worthy of me. You are not a worthy representative of me, of being my disciple, if you are not willing personally to take up your cross and follow me. That's a heavy demand, is it not? Talk to me. That's a heavy demand. It is a personal charge. The Lord Jesus is commanding us to carry a cross for Christ's sake. And note there at the end of verse 38, the Lord Jesus said, if you are not prepared to carry your cross, you are not worthy of me. You are not worthy, you are not a worthy representative of me. You bring shame to me if you are not prepared to carry your cross. So to live the cross life involves you and I, as God's people, personally being willing to carry the cross. Our own personal cross. Remember, the cross is in reference to death. Note then verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life dies to his own desires and passions and dreams shall find it. That is the crucified life. And the Lord Jesus is telling us that I want you, as my children, to reflect that you are my children by a willingness to take up your cross and follow me. Every Bible-believing Christian is called upon by Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross to bear a cross for Christ's sake. That encompasses a willingness to let go of all personal affection, all personal desires, but to make Christ our life. And the Lord Jesus said, if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And brethren, this principle may seem hard to digest and comprehend, but this is the demand upon every blood-bought child of God. And this is the problem for many of God's people. Why then struggling and not enjoying life to the full? Because they're not willing to carry their cross. They're not willing to carry that cross. That cross represents death. It was the Romans that initiated the medium of execution by the cross. That cross only meant death. It was never to be a symbol of worship. It is equal death. And when you and I are willing to carry our cross, that means I'm willing to die to my own passions, I'm willing to die to my own desires, I'm willing to die to self and live unto Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, if you're not willing to carry your cross, a personal cross, then really you're not worthy of me. You're ashamed to me. You are not rightfully honoring me. There in verse number 37, he gives us further insight concerning what it means to take up our cross. My friend, this passage of Scripture is a command. The death. Death to self. A willingness to lose my life for Christ's sake. And there in verse number 37, let's read it one more time. Let's let it sink in. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He repeats that little phrase, not worthy of me, twice in verse 37 and once in verse 38. Our Lord is not teaching us that we are to hate, as we understand the word hate, family members. But the principle that he is trying to stress to his disciples is that I must be first place in your life. Nothing more, nothing less. In other words, there are no joint priorities. There should not be any joint priorities in the life of the Bible-believing Christian. At the end of the day, if I am living the Christ life, then Christ is number one in my life. Now, God's economy runs very orderly. God makes no mistakes. And as I've always said to God's people, and I'll say it again, biblical priorities will not conflict. There is no conflict. My priority to Christ does not conflict with my priority to my family. My priority to my family does not conflict with my priority to the New Testament church. Biblical priorities do not conflict. I believe that. But if there is conflict between so-called priorities, then we need to stand back and ask the hard question. What's the issue here at hand? And the Lord Jesus is saying to you and I, you need to take up your cross and follow me. You need to be willing to lose your life, so to speak. Lose your life to your own personal ambitions, your own personal desires, your own personal wants. And you need to be willing to surrender your life fully to me, to the point that you have placed me first and foremost in your life, and I am your priority. More so than your own blood family. Now that's a hard pill to digest, is it not? And I've got to be honest with you this evening, I don't fully comprehend that principle. But by faith, I need to live by that principle. And the more I understand that principle, the more I will come to a point of understanding of what the Lord Jesus meant for you and I to take up our cross and follow Him. It involves a dying to self. It involves you and I placing Christ first and foremost in our lives. The Lord Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And often many of God's people struggle in their Christian life because they're trying to serve more than one master. My friend Matthew 6:33 is still in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's why I say biblical priorities do not conflict. My first and foremost love is my Lord Jesus. That does not conflict with my love for my wife. That doesn't conflict. It doesn't conflict with my love for my children. There is no conflict. There ought not to be conflict. And the more we understand the crucified life and the cross life and what it means to take up our cross and follow Christ and allow Christ to be our very life, and we're willing to die to self and He is our priority, then there will not be conflicts. And often there's conflicts in our lives because we have more than one priority. And the Lord Jesus said, no, it's very simple. You make me your priority. You let go of your life. I'll take care of your life. You be willing to die to your own passions, your own desires, and I will take over. And you will enjoy the Christ life. The principle of surrender. The principle of priority. And the principle of bearing our cross is a personal charge. Let's also go to Matthew chapter 16, please. I've been asking the good Lord to just help me to understand what it means to live the crucified life. Because I want to affirm, like the Apostle Paul of old, I am crucified with Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, there is further insight on what it means to live the cross life, the crucified life. The crucified life is the Christ full life. Matthew 16:24, it reads,
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The key phrase is deny himself. But also note then verse 25, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's that phrase once again. Verse 26, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it mean to live the crucified life? What does it mean to bear our cross, to take up our cross and follow him? Well, the Lord Jesus gives us further insight here in verse 24 by the usage of the phrase, deny himself. Let's say it together, deny himself. So back in Matthew chapter 10, he makes reference to bearing our cross as a personal charge. He makes reference to bearing our cross as a decisive surrender. And also he made reference to taking up our cross as a point of priority. Christ is our priority. But here in Matthew chapter 26, he makes reference to denying oneself. The word denial means to say no to, or to go without. And my friend, if the reality of Galatians 2:20 is to be a reality in your life and in my life, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I live this life in the power of Christ, my friend. That can only be a reality in your life, in my life. We can only bear up our cross effectively if we are prepared to say no to self, to deny ourselves, to deny the passions of the flesh. That's the crucified life. That's the cross life. That's the Christ life. Death, from death comes life. See, it's a proven historical and scientific fact that we are selfish. We love our sleep. We love our time. We love our money. We love our things. We love our securities. We love our friendships. We love our abilities. We love our homes. We love our vehicles. And all of our loves and passions on a human level focus upon self. Saying yes to self. But the Lord Jesus said, if you want to truly bear your cross and follow me, you need to be willing to say no to self. You need to be willing to live without. That's bearing one's cross. Do you see the insight that our Lord is giving us? What does it mean to bear our cross? And I'd like to think that you would say, yes, Pastor, I am carrying my cross. Yes, I'm willing to go without sleep for you, Lord Jesus. I'm willing to go without wealth for you, Lord Jesus. I'm willing to surrender my health and my well-being for you, Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm willing to let go of securities for you, Lord Jesus. I'm willing to let go of my friends for you, Lord Jesus. I'm willing to just let go of my life and my career. Lord, I just want to live for you. That's the crucified life. That's how the Lord Jesus defined the crucified life. My friend, this evening, are you prepared to live without? I'm not saying it's wrong to have. possessions, but the issue is, are you willing to live without? See, we read of the great missionaries of the past, and we still read of their stories and of their life because these individuals were willing to take up their cross. When Hudson Taylor went to China as a missionary, he had no ambition to come home. It was a one-way ticket. When William Carey went to India, when David Livingstone went to Africa, when Adoniram Judson went to Burma, when Jim Elliot went to Ecuador, it was all a one-way street. See, these missionaries are classics, and we still read their life story. Why? Why? Let me tell you why. Because these individuals understood what it meant to take up their cross and follow Christ. And brethren, this is the life that Christ demands of you and I. And the Lord Jesus said, look, you are not worthy of me if you're not willing to bear your cross. That's a heavy charge. That's a high demand. The modern day missionary has email. The modern day missionary has church support, guaranteed church support. The modern day missionary has Skype. But the sad reality is that the modern day missionary, on average, is not lasting on the mission field. And out of some 200 independent Baptist churches in this country, there are only some 20 missionaries. 20 missionaries sent out of this country. Overseas missionaries. From 200 churches. And we've had independent Baptist churches in this country for some 50 years. That's not good. That's not a good strike rate. What's the issue? The issue is not with the movement. We are Bible-believing Christians, are we not? That is not the issue. The issue is the cross. There are few that are out there bearing their cross in Japan and Paraguay, Spain and Vanuatu and many other countries. But how many more missionaries would there be from our own shores that would go and go into the regions beyond if God's people would just be willing to obey Christ and personally bear their cross? My friend, that's the cross life. When you think of the cross, think of death. From death comes life. Now, I don't doubt that we love the Lord Jesus. That's why you're in church on Sunday night. But let me ask you this evening, are you living the cross life? Are you willing to bear your cross? And we've noticed some characteristics of a person that is bearing their cross. They will deny themselves. They'll be willing to say no. C.T. Studd was a missionary to China. From memory, he went on to be a missionary to, it was either India or Africa. Africa, I think it is. He gave away his wealth. And he gave away a promising professional career as a cricket player. Why? Because he was prepared to bear his cross and follow Christ. And he said at the end of his life, he said, I have no regrets. If I could do it all again, if I could have the fame again,
If I can have the wealth again, I'd do no different. I would give it all away and follow Christ. What a testimony. That's why we still read of C.T. Studd, the crucified life. God calls us to carry our cross. God calls us to follow his example. The cross illustrates death. And from that death comes life. Life eternal and life more abundantly. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, please, verse 24. If the ushers would make their way forward as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible reads, "To his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, crucifixion, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And verse 25 teaches us, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." And that privilege of being a part of God's fold and being a part of God's oversight, the bishop of our souls, was made possible by the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. He died in our place. In 1 Peter chapter 3, please, verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." The just one is Jesus Christ. The unjust is you and I. "That he might bring us to God." How? "Being put to death." The death of the cross. "Being put to death in the flesh." 100% God became 100% man. Remained 100% God. Died on the cross for our sins. "Quickened or made alive by the Spirit, after 3 days and three nights, Christ arose from the dead." Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ arose from the dead, bodily, visibly, and personally. In order to provide a way to God the Father. So through that death comes life. And brethren, we consider the death of Christ, it is not an end in itself, but it's a means of life. And we consider the fact that you and I are called upon to carry our cross, a die to self, but that is what it means to live for Christ. And you'll be better off. You'll be happier. You'll be more fulfilled. I really don't have much, but I'm the happiest person on this side of eternity, as far as I'm concerned. I really am. Sometimes I wonder why I'm doing what I'm doing. I thank God for his peace that passes all understanding. And I thank God for that time in my life that I said, "Lord, I'm willing to take my cross and follow you wherever that leads. I'm willing." That led me to Bible college. That led me to the ministry. That led me to gray hairs and sleepless nights. But nevertheless, I'm happy in the Lord. Lord Jesus said, "You're not worthy of me unless you're willing to take up your cross." I took up my cross. Actually, it wasn't my cross, it's your cross. Truth be known,
Christ died for the unjust. He actually took our cross and died on our cross. He died on our behalf. No wonder the Lord Jesus calls for you and I as his people to carry our cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. I'd like you to consider the cross life this evening. What does it mean to live the crucified life, or the Christ life, or what I call the cross life? It involves you and I bearing our cross and following him. And as we assemble this evening around our Lord's table, the bread represents his body that was broken for us. The pure grape juice represents his blood that was shed on our behalf. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, it reads, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And as we assemble this evening around our Lord's table, I'd like you to consider that one that died upon the cross. Whose cross? Your cross. My cross. He bore that cross not for himself. He was spotless. He was without sin. He died in our place. And as you consider, and as we consider this evening, the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, may it give us a holy desire to take up our cross and follow him. Lose our life, so to speak, but find it by following the Christ life. This evening, I'd like to encourage you, if you have personally received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if you have been scripturally baptized by immersion upon your confession of Christ as Savior, and you are in complete agreement with our doctrines and our practices here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, and if you believe before God and fellow man that your heart is as right as it could possibly be, we invite you to partake at our Lord's table.